Pennsylvania,
Pennsylvania,
Keystone of democracy.
I love your family and dear, I always will. You're the one great state that I have always fought.
Again, we present Pennsylvania, Keystone of democracy, an historical dramatization of the part our great state of Pennsylvania plays in the life and success of these 48 United States. This program is prepared and produced by the Pennsylvania Historical Commission in cooperation with the State Council of Defense in order to acquaint you better with the glorious history of our great Commonwealth, Pennsylvania, Keystone of democracy.
Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania, and no matter where I roam, you will always be home, sweet home to me, Pennsylvania, my home.
A volley fired by a young Virginian in the backwoods of America set the world on fire.
With these words, Horace Walpole described the beginning of the French and Indian War. This struggle, it is too often forgotten, was based upon the conflicting ideals of the traditional free institutions of Great Britain and the aggressive, absolute power of state control exercised by one man, then represented by the French monarchy. The decisive phase of this 18th century struggle began here in our own Pennsylvania. Let us go back to 1753, to the office of Governor Dinwiddie of Virginia at Williamsburg, where an orderly is announcing the arrival of the young man who was to give the order for that fateful triumphant volley.
Major George Washington.
Major George Washington, reporting for service, Your Excellency.
Well, yes, Major Washington. At ease, Major. At ease. Here, pray be seated. Dismiss, orderly.
Yes, sir.
I trust I find Your Excellency in good health.
Health, aye, Major Washington, in our best of health, but hardly in good spirits. Harkee, Major. Have you any notion of why I've sent for you?
Perchance, Your Excellency. It might be on the question of the French.
Aye, you're a sharp-witted young man. What know you of the French and their doings?
No more than the traitors returned from the Ohio River, Your Excellency. I've talked with some of them and heard that the French have come down from the north, making settlements on the river. Of course, they're intruding on our lands.
And I might presume that you've a natural interest in their stories? Is their country familiar to you? Have you done any surveying the raboots?
No, Your Excellency. I've been far into the wilderness surveying for Lord Fairfax, but never that far.
Poor Major, I've got to take you completely into my confidence in this matter. I need an emissary, one like yourself, a young man of good family, able to withstand the hardships of wilderness travel, and one who can handle a diplomatic mission with tact, and at the same time keep his eyes open for information. I think you're my man. Will you accept the task?
Gladly, Your Excellency. I'd be deeply honored to put my poor services at the disposal of the king.
Good. Now then, look at the chart. You can see at a glance that the traitors' tales are true. But perhaps they've not gone far enough. The French have indeed come down from the great lake called Erie to the waters of the Ohio River. But they're doing more than forming settlements and trading. They're building forts, Major. My dispatches give clear evidence that these so-called colonists and traitors are no more than spies who are bribing the Indians and forming the advance guard of an invasion. They built forts here along this line, Presque Isle, Le Bouf. And they even have a detachment as far south as Venango. Can you see what this line of fortifications is intending to do, Major?
Yes, Your Excellency. It would cut us off from the Ohio Territory. Hold English colonization back to the seaboard.
Aye, that it would if we allowed it. But we're not going to allow it, Major, needless to say. This French auction is a violation of international law. Now, the treaties existing between France and England. Past events have shown that the future of the American colony is in expansion to the west. The French will not be allowed to throttle their expansion at its very birth. And you, my dear Major, are going to be the first instrument who'll use to stop it.
Of what will my mission consist, Your Excellency?
You'll bear a message from me to their general at Le Bouf. A very polite message, understand, but to the point nonetheless. We are simply given notice of trespass. Do I make myself clear?
Perfectly, Your Excellency.
Very well. Now let's turn to the details of your journey.
It
Might be best to pick up a guide and follow.
And so, at the age of 21, Major George Washington entered the wilderness on his mission. At Wills Creek, now Cumberland, Maryland, he hired a guide, Christopher Gist. Traveling north through rains and snow, he noted the forking of the Ohio River, the site of modern Pittsburgh, and described the place as extremely well situated for a fort. At the Indian post of Logstown, he secured Indian guides, led by a chieftain called the Half King, and pushed north to Venango to make his first contact with the French, in the person of the famous French Indian agent, Jean Kerr. Washington was entertained in the courteous French tradition, but heard ominous words as...
And so, Major Washington, if it were not inhospitable of me to dishearten you in whatever mission you may undertake, I would say that the future of the French Ohio region is destined to be a future based upon the culture and traditions of La France.
And would you not expect a struggle, monsieur, in which you would be hopelessly outnumbered?
Outnumbered? Mais oui, c'est drôle, n'est-ce pas? It is quite possible for the English to raise two men to our one. But the joke, Major, is that the English will not be able to raise those men until it will be what we call fait accompli, an accomplished fact.
Because of the bad traveling through swamps in the wet snows, Washington did not reach the French commander, Le Garde de Saint-Pierre at Fort Labouf, until December 11, 1753.
I must compliment you, my dear Monsieur Washington, your fortitude in facing a winter journey through the wilderness, especially due to the fact that my answers to your question will be small comfort to Governor Dinwiddie. The Ohio, by virtue of discovery and exploration, the Chevalier de La Salle, is the property of France. My orders are to take prisoner any Englishman who attempts to trade upon the Ohio. In short, I act as I do by the military orders of my superior, the Marquis Duquesne. Those orders I shall follow to the letter and to the last drop of my blood. To Governor Dinwiddie's order to depart peaceably from here, I do not think myself obliged to obey. Do I make myself clear, Monsieur Washington?
Quite, Monsieur. Only one thing could be more direct than those words.
And that would be
action.
And action it was. When Washington, after a long, hard journey through the winter, returned to Williamsburg, Governor Dinwiddie read his clear, direct report and ordered it published. Its unminced words were driven home to the American colonists and to the English. The threat of French aggression was revealed, and a surging patriotism of the English-speaking peoples expressed itself in deeds. The English started countermeasures, began construction of a fort at the junction of the Ohio. Troops were raised, and George Washington volunteered his military services. He was given command of a detachment of Virginia militia with the rank of lieutenant colonel and set out to garrison the new fort being built on the site of the Pittsburgh of today. Before he arrived, however, the French had captured it, named it Fort Duquesne. Then, some days later...
Colonel!
Yes? Oh, Gist. Have you more news?
Yeah, Colonel. I met Half King. He found a band of Frenchmen lying in ambush for
him. In ambush, eh? Well, I've had enough of this double-dealing... This time, we'll strike first. Gist, do they know they've been sighted?
No, Colonel. Half King's waiting on ahead to show us where they're at. They're hiding in some kind of a low spot on Laurel Mountain.
Take us on to Half King. We'll give them a little surprise, Gist.
Frenchman hide small valley ahead. Think you know come this way. Not make noise. Catch 'em, French chief. Many guns. Powder.
Good, Half King. You keep with me. Lieutenant, take your men to the right. The others will spread left from here. We'll flank them. Fire on my signal, then close in. Everything clear?
Yes, sir.
Very well. Start your men. Do you see them, Gist?
No, Colonel. Maybe they caught wind of our plan.
Wait.
And...
There's a man.
Three of them. Come in here to this tree. Oh, French camp. Come on. Quickly.
Wait, Colonel. Don't leave that cover.
One of the devils has seen us.
He's taken aim.
Can't wait any longer then.
Fire!
We done a good day's work this time. Here's the checkup.
Yes. How does it tally, Gist?
Their commander's dead. Name of Jumonville, the prisoners say. And all but one of them are killed or captured. Just one of them got away.
That means something.
Yes, Gist. But I believe it means more than you think. We've started something here, Gist. We've started a struggle for law and freedom which may not end in our time. And with what results, I know not. But one thing's certain, Gist. We had to start it. They wanted action, and we gave it to them.
And with this engagement, with this rifle volley fired at the order of young Colonel Washington, began the war which was to range the world. In America, it was called the French and Indian War and was fought to the accompaniment of the savage scalp cries of the Indians. In India, another young man, Robert Clive, fought brilliantly against a background of Oriental intrigue. In London, a third young man, James Wolfe, planned the raid on Quebec, which was to end the war and break the power of autocratic France in the New World for all time to come. Here in Pennsylvania began the 18th century's battle for freedom, the freedom which grew to be the democracy which we defend today.
In the crucible of the Pennsylvania wilderness, George Washington was tried and found ready to carry out every task assigned to him with courage, fidelity, and resourcefulness. His example is still our inspiration.
For the first time, the free institutions of Great Britain, the principles of the English Bill of Rights, were defended by British and Americans, and the defense began in our state of Pennsylvania.
And again today, in the struggle to establish these free institutions in every part of the world, Pennsylvania is in the front rank of the fight, with her men, her resources, her fields and factories, and her unswerving determination to live up to the name of Pennsylvania, Keystone of Democracy.
Pennsylvania, you're the land that I adore. I love your valleys and hills, I always will. You're the one great state that I am always for.
You have just heard another program in the series, Pennsylvania, Keystone of Democracy, produced by the Pennsylvania Historical Commission in cooperation with the State Council of Defense. Do your part to aid the defense of our country. America is calling, and every Pennsylvania is urged to respond. You can join the armed services of our country. Take your place in civilian defense. Buy defense bonds and stamps. Work for victory at home, in the field, in the mine, or in the factory. Do your part. Tune in again next week for another thrilling chapter in the history of Pennsylvania, Keystone of Democracy.
Pennsylvania.